This podcast is proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.
Hi, I'm Gordon Muller. I'm the guru in the Doc and Guru podcast. Thanks for being with us. For those of you who don't know me, I've spent over 40 years in the media industry in South Africa and pretty much made it my home, my life, my passion. I have other passions, unfortunately, for my sins. I'm an Arsenal supporter and a Sharks supporter, so we're going to do pretty much everything on the show as it pertains to media, marketing and money, but we don't take jokes about Arsenal or the Sharks.
I'm Doug Mateus, the doc on the show. And again, for those of you who don't know me, I've spent 30 years in various companies in South Africa running different marketing functions. And the last job I had, I was privileged enough to work with a team that took the brand to the fastest growing brand in South Africa in 2018 with a 47% year-on-year growth. So that was a great achievement for the team, and I'm really proud of that. From a personal point of view, I do a little bit of cycling and also snow skiing, so we quite enjoy that. But again, today's discussion is around all things marketing and media.
Yep, that's right, Doc. All things marketing and media. No subject too big, no topic too small, no subject too hot to handle. Please get in touch with us on our Facebook page, follow us, like us, whatever it takes. We would love you to be involved with the show, and we really want to make it as inclusive and as energetic as I know this industry is capable of. I must say, you're looking, you don't look a day over 149, but here we are, 150 up. That's amazing. That's probably more than the Proteas scored in both innings against England.
You see now, Gordon, it's always got to go like that. Now, just because you guys are right up there in the league with Arsenal, I mean, you've got a superb start to the season, you don't have to go and fight with the Proteas now.
We've done well. I'm more than happy with where we are. It's still early days, and yeah, we'll take it from there. It's been an exciting couple of weeks from a sporting point of view. We've had cricket, we've had sevens, we've had, the box playing. It's been a good time. But amazing to think that, you know, we're sort of 3 years down the line, 150 episodes at one a week. That's plus or minus, unless the arithmetic's changed. Woke arithmetic, is it still plus or minus 3 years?
Yeah, well done, Gordon. I mean, you know, jokes aside now. I mean, it's been great. It's been a nice run. We've had fantastic guests, and today no different. You know, we've got two very special and fantastic guests in the studio to share our 150th episode with us. So, yeah, you know, to the guru, well done. And thanks for the ride.
You know, leave you to do the intros, but the topic today, is very close to my heart and has been for many, many years in this industry. So I'm really pleased to be engaging with this topic, because I think this is it going forward. This has to be the area that we focus on.
Yeah, absolutely, Gordon. And we're chatting for our listeners out there. You know, if you followed any of our shows, there's one of the themes that kind of permeated and comes back is education and sharpening the saw and learning and just being out there every day trying to better yourself and not thinking that you know everything. And today we're going to chat exactly that. We're going to chat on the media side. We're going to chat across the advertising, across all the different disciplines within a HANA group. And it's going to be about learning and development. So, Papi Silpa, Papi, you're the group head of learning in the group. So a big welcome to you. Thanks very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
And Ayanda Munda, you're the head of HR for Park, which is Meta on the one side and Media Shop on the other side. Thanks very much for your time. It's wonderful having you in studio with us.
Thanks, Doug. Looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, and I mean, again, you know, let's get straight into it, Papi and Ayanda. We're going to chat about an industry that is like any others. It's faced its challenges. It's had a, you know, up and down time over COVID, coming out of it now. Big changes at Nahana the last 2 years. And we'll chat about how that's been bedded down and how the new leadership, they're not new to the group, but new to their respective positions are doing. But I mean, let's get straight into it. Papi, I think let's start with you, if you don't mind. Let's just talk about the group role. And you were saying to me a while ago, and I was quite, I don't say the words impressed, but I was pleasantly surprised when you said to me, your culture is very much a learning organization. So let's just chat about your role and what are some of the skills that you're looking at for today and for tomorrow's advertising execs?
Awesome. Thanks, Zach. I think one of the things for me that I like speaking about is my background, because it informs a lot of how I approach my job. So I think this is kind of a recent trend where you start seeing a lot of HR professionals coming from a non-HR background, and I'm sort of one of those people. And so in training, I was trained in science and research and education, right? So those are sort of my comfort levels. Recently, I've taken up psychology as a discipline to hopefully pursue in the future. And having this sort of multi-disciplinary focus to my role helps me embed some of the key targets for the group, which is think about how we future-proof our talent, not just in terms of bringing people that can do the job as per training, but also think about bringing diverse skills, right? So how do we, to embody sort of the idea of the Medici effect, how do we bring people who are multi-skilled and who can think in a number of ways? And, you know, for me, it's more than just a brief. It's something I've been through, living through different disciplines, living through different industries, and being in a situation where I'm having to sort of help a company and partner with all the HODs to, you know, redefine and reinvent a new way of bringing talent. So our focus is exclusively around learning. When I came in 2017, there was one main objective, which was try and develop a culture of learning, not just kind of say, hey, we've got 20 Rand and we can take a whole bunch of people on training. But the idea was, how do we start helping people develop a culture of learning in terms of being self-driven to learn, right? That's a mindset shift where they're not approaching HR or their manager, but they're actually self-determined to craft their own career plans, to think about what their ambitions are in the company or in the long term. And so that's kind of our key focus from 2017 onwards, has been around changing the mindset of our leaders, changing the mindset of our people to be self-driven to learn.
It's wonderful. I mean, we'll get back to that, you know, in terms of how successful that is and the skills needed, you know. So it's all fine, you know, the training, be it online or in classroom, but it's that skills transfer and then back into the workplace. And also, not just client-facing, but internal client. Ayanda, let's talk a little bit, and I know it's Gordon's favorite topic, media. Let's talk media specifically, the skills needed and the work that you're doing across the different companies for the modern-day market media person.
So as Bobby was speaking, Doug, actually the word that comes to mind for me, the biggest skill that we're looking for actually is teachability, because I think certainly what's happened over the years is that we've started realizing that it's time to move past, you know, if you're looking for a media buyer, looking for another media buyer that you can poach from somewhere else, you know. We've started to expand our definition of the kind of person we're looking for. So is it maybe getting someone from a media owner side and then teaching them the skill that we need? But obviously we need that element of that teachability, that openness to learn. So we're really redefining the sort of skill set that we need, and it looking more like, you know, someone who's actually open to learning this skill, and in principle embracing by the company of the fact that we will need to upskill people, but just starting to open our minds to the possibilities of starting to look beyond what is the norm of, you know, let's look at who we can get from another media agency, but is it looking at client side, is it looking at a media owner side, and then finding people who have the willingness and the ability to learn, and then teaching them the kinds of skills. And I mean, that expands to be it strategy or the digital side, but just opening our minds to, let's be receptive of the kind of people that we're getting in, but we are now looking for the softer skills, the nuances, where do we feel like we could work with this person to empower them and make them become better people in terms of the kinds of skill that we're looking for. So I think that is a big one in this day and age. We understand that, you know, people will be coming from various elements, whether it's client side or media owner side or media agencies, but it's about the teachability for us and that willingness to learn.
I think for me, you know, I mean, the relationship between media agencies and media owners has always been a free trade zone. I mean, we've been kind of nicking each other's staff, you know, in good faith for many, many years. I mean, there are many people who come into media agencies who are not skilled enough or competent enough to drive numbers. Statistical reasoning isn't their forte, but they're fabulous with people. And we've seen a lot of traffic to media owners there. We've had media owners coming in who just have such a flair for numbers that, you know, they suddenly discover there's a role for them in media. So I think I'm really encouraged that that is being more, has been facilitated in a structured kind of way. For me, the bigger issue is making sure that however hard you do it here, that we conform it to global best practices. Mm-hmm. You know, you can create a best practice in South Africa, and that's great. And I think I'll say with hand on heart, without fear of contradiction, that the Media Shop in its iteration over the years has been at the forefront of training way ahead of the curve for 20 years. So this is not a new passion. Yeah. But if your benchmark does not conform to a global benchmark, then offshoring becomes a major issue. Mm. And right now, offshoring is the single biggest challenge that the local media industry faces in this country, because there are some pretty smart young folks in Dubai and some pretty smart folks in India. And we need to understand, if we can't do it here, and it's all numbers in the cloud, which a lot of it is, that cloud can be driven from India, that cloud can be driven from Dubai, could be driven from anywhere. Mm.
Yeah, and I mean, Ayanda, I don't know if you are you seeing it, and do you benchmark? I'm just taking Gordon's point in terms of, you know, benchmarking against some of the best in the world. Is that something that you'd look at across your group?
So what we do is benchmark amongst ourselves. So as part of the Nahana Group, we obviously have access to agencies such as FCB. We're in a global perspective. We certainly work a lot with our HR colleagues on that side, you know, having those meetings, find out what are you guys doing, you know, what systems are you using, what can we get from your side and use on our side. So from an internal group perspective, definitely, I think there is more that could be done in terms of just the general global industry.
Yeah.
But definitely from an internal group perspective, there are those conversations between ourselves and our HR colleagues within the rest of the group to find out just what are people doing. Obviously, conversations as well around staff who maybe want to work at a global agency somewhere. So all those kinds of conversations are happening internally. But I definitely agree that, you know, there's an opportunity to still assess ourselves and benchmark to the rest of the globe and see what's happening and how we are faring as far as that's concerned. Mm.
Yeah, Doug, I mean, if I should say, you know, the Nahana Group houses some of the most talented individuals in the world, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not an overstatement. It's, I mean, we're effectively a collection of different agencies, about 10 to 14 agencies, and highly competitive, right? And we've always sort of tried to push the idea of having an open architecture, right? So something to the effect of creating fluidity in information exchange, right? If one agency has a breakthrough in sort of how to brief, you know, how we can get better briefs from a client, then some of that information and the idea behind that breakthrough needs to be shared across the group.
Yeah.
So we always sort of endeavor to create systems and ways in which we can grow as a group. Of course, I mean, the leveraging point here is, if I'm a PR company, Weber Shandwick is one of our PR companies, and I'm pitching on a piece of business, even though that client will belong to that particular business unit, there's kind of a leveraging point in that I can say to my client, you're not only getting us, but you're getting a whole host of companies in the group that we can tap into easily. So there is massive movement that we're seeing as a first priority for us, is instead of losing someone to an external competitor, we'd rather have someone leave FCB and go to McCann, right?
Sure.
Because it retains some of that institutional knowledge, but it also sort of brings a different flair, a different take that they leave from FCB with and embed at McCann.
Mm. Well, it's nice, as you say, you know, and I mean, both Gordon and I are familiar with the group and the structure, and we'll chat about some of those leadership changes. But it's nice that you've inculcated and continue to the culture of rather move inside than outside and take the goodness of fit, and maybe your fit is better elsewhere at a McCann 1886 as opposed to a computer, whatever the case may be, and you can move around. Now, that's great. Puppy, just circling back to, I mean, your point of, your career and your grounding and your continued grounding. You're talking about enhancing your skills and all the rest of it. And I want to bring Ayanda in here. And one of the things that the same time you were telling me, and I was encouraged by the learning culture, I was equally horrified by an example that, and obviously I don't know the person's name, so I can't mention their name, but it's something that horrified me, Gordon. Ayanda was saying she was interviewing a young person to get into media, and this person, and I paraphrase, and why am I bringing that in with yours is to show you the difference. This young person said, listen, I don't like a lot of change. I like stability, and I really just want to work on one client. Can I do that? And you know, and I was saying to you, geez, I mean, I can't believe it. Yeah. I mean, that obviously really happened, and I mean, that cannot be the mindset of a young, modern day marketing, media, advertising person.
Definitely.
Yeah, that look, I mean, that's the kind of thing that one has to then move into the area of counseling. And we were chatting in the build up, you know, before we started recording. Puppy was talking about the importance of psychology. I mean, I think you need, you know, if you're dealing with young people, they need counseling as much as anything else, particularly if you're pulling them in from tertiary institutions straight into the front line. But yeah, I mean, you know, I will preface all my lectures at whatever institution, just raise your hands. Anybody here doesn't like change? Anybody who gets out of bed hoping that today will be exactly the same as yesterday, you're in the wrong lecture. You should leave now, okay? Because if you don't thrive on change, then you're definitely in the wrong space. So that's somebody that you might then be wanting to say, you know, maybe what you should be looking at then within the media mix is if you want to focus on one product or one client, go and be a media sales executive, and then you can sell YFM and only YFM, or it becomes your security blanket. But yeah, you've got to embrace change. You can't survive. I mean, if I'd wanted things to be the same, you know, as they were when I started, you know, in the 1970s, I'd be running 100% of my clients' ad space in the Sunday Times. You know, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, and a little bit on cinema.
And Biscope. You're introducing new terminology. Biscope.
Sorry, the 1970s James Bond, Peter Stuyvesant ad for the Biscope. Sorry.
Biscope and Wallace.
But I mean, yeah, sorry, Papi. Yeah,
I
go
mean,
on.
If I could just jump in there. So, I mean, I speak to everyone sort of about this idea of the talent density, right? And kind of a spokesperson for the concept itself. So, just a bit of a case study. A couple of years ago, before Netflix was Netflix, the big Netflix that we know today, sales were dipping, business was bad, and they had to let go of a few people, right? And that whole process is terrible for any single company. Mm-hmm. But one would expect that, you know, if you let go of 50% of your staff, for example, productivity should dip, output should dip, but the opposite actually happened. They were more productive and sales increased. And the idea there was they were able to get rid of people who were slacking, who were not pulling their weight, and the people that were left in the company were high performers. Mm. Not only that, but people who were multi-skilled, right, just to hop on the idea of not being single-minded. And so that's a very important thing in also kind of how we look at talent, right? You need to have the experience, of course, but I think one of the biggest currencies lately is curiosity, right? Your ability to generate ideas quite rapidly and be multi-skilled and multiversed, right? If an agency is getting leaner and leaner, we need to make sure that the people that we can accommodate are definitely multi-skilled. So you can't just have someone who's only good at visuals as an art director.
Yeah.
You need to know what copy is. I mean, eventually, once you become a creative director, you will have to oversee copywriters and art directors, right? So the build-up of that skill is something that's quite important. And again, the mindset that we have right now is try and make sure that every single person within our company is multi-skilled and can offer more than just kind of...
Yeah, I think, you know, for me... Listening to that, I mean, the thought that came into my mind is that we should be looking at something like corporate IQ. You know, too much emphasis on headcounts. If you have 100 people and you cut them down to 75, it follows that everybody's going to have to work kind of, you know, 25% harder. But that's not the issue for me. The issue there is if you've had 100 people and the collective IQ of your company is 1,000, and you've cut your best people because they are your most expensive people or your most skilled people, and you've cut them because they're too old, you need to just see what's the net impact on that on your collective corporate IQ. If you halve, if you cut 25% of your staff and you halve your IQ, you're just less competitive in the ideas business.
Yeah, it's always, and I guess it's absolutely right, Papi and Gordon, is to cut the right, to cut the wrong people. And I'm saying to you, those are the people who are not adding. It's the old, I think the Jack Walsh, GE example of many years ago. Easier said than done though, but it's to do that proper performance appraisal, that people take it seriously, that you got a good handle on the people, and that you spend time with your human people, you know, your people, as opposed to, you know, just doing a numbers exercise. Because I think, you know, to a greater or lesser degree, we've all been through that exercise where you get a decree. You know, it's, you've got to cut 10% of your staff. And then what do? You know, how does it come into it? The objective versus subjectivity. So yeah, you know, that's always a tough one. And I think one, just talking skills, Papi, we'll be talking internally, the skills and curiosity, such an important skill, learning, learnability, trainability. But also knowing the client's business on both sides, you know what I mean, on the creative house across all of the areas, as well as the media house, you know. And again, as a recipient of those services in times gone by, so important though that you feel the pain and share the joy of the client, you know what I mean. Now also, and I've made the point on many shows, sometimes it was also the client's fault, you know what I mean? That the client didn't sometimes know, and I'll know it when I see it. You know, you can't tell her, that can't be the brief to the creative person. Or you must just buy like media. So what sort of a brief is that? You know what I mean? So it's about skills and trust across both. But yeah, you know, important, Ayanda, just to talk a little bit about knowledge of your, and I mean, you guys have got some massive and very, very successful clients. You know, I don't want to name them by name, but people can go look up on the web and find them. So how do you inculcate that culture of not only being curious about your discipline, but being curious about the client's work?
The client, definitely, Doug. And I think that's something that, you know, over the past 2 years, we've really been trying to drive within the organization. It's definitely become something that's very important as we are recruiting new people to come in, and you know that I know this term is used a lot, but the business partnering aspect, you know, and I always say to people in interviews, it's almost like, you know, getting to that position where you're being able to come up with solutions for clients before they even know they have the problem, because you've immersed yourself that much into knowing and understanding them, you know. I always say to the people who work with the CMOs, it's about making them look good in front of their boards.
Yeah.
You know, it's about coming up with things that they haven't even thought about. So immersing yourself beyond, like you're saying, what you might get or not get in a brief. You might get a brief with an objective stating one thing, but because of the data analysis, because of the looking at what's happening in the industry with the competitors that you've done, you're able to actually come back and say, you know, I know this is what you've put in the brief, but I actually think this is where you should be focusing. And that's exactly the kind of competency or ability that we're trying to certainly build in the people that we have, but are definitely looking out for in the people as they come in now, you know. And that's why, like I'm saying, now we're open to people like marketers who might not necessarily come from a media agency, but we know that that thinking is there. And then it's like the media part we can upskill you in, you know. You can learn the ropes, and that goes back to the teachability thing now. But because we've identified that is so important and so crucial in becoming distinct, you know, because there are media agencies that do the same thing that we do, you know. It's beyond being you just another major, but how a media agency, but how do you make yourself distinct? And that's in the impression that you can leave with client, in really becoming, like I'm saying, that business partner where you're actually going beyond, we'll just wait for the brief and see what they say, but actually being able to come to them and say, look, I've been doing some reading up. This is what's happening in the industry. This seems to be the direction that everyone's going. Have you guys started having those conversations? Yeah. Like I'm saying, trying to pose those questions and maybe make them aware or bring solutions that they didn't even know they have problems for, but absolutely critical.
You're listening to The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media.
And I think, you know, just before, Gordon, before, if you don't mind, I just want to make a point before I forget. Just, I mean, I look at the competitive nature, and we all judge and get judged all the time. I mean, even, you know, in this setting, you know, we look and we're trying to do the best we can, which is right and proper. But I look at just two of your clients. I mean, you've got a massive retailer who you guys do the buy, you do the media for, but you don't do the creative. Now, I can only imagine what those guys must look at when they look at a team and say, but my creative team team is better than my media team, or the other way around. Yeah. I look at the big bank you guys have got, you know, and that creative is done by a very good creative house over the way, you know, very, very close to you guys. And the point again, you know, Papi, is one's got to be aware of it. But if as a person, Gordon, you're not aware, or you just don't care, then you just pitch up somasua. But you can't. You got to say, but hold on a second. Though the client is going to look at you and they're going to say, but hold on. Imagine if my creative was just a bit better than my media, or the other way around. So, you know, it's that external conflict and competitiveness as well.
Yeah, I think you know, if you're going to upskill, you have to empower and impassion. So you can tell me, you know, to run faster, train faster, but if I'm not going to get a prize at the end of the day, why would I bother to run comrades in 5.5 hours if I get the same reward for running it in 12 hours? And that's the problem, and that's where the differentiation's got to come in. So yeah, you can lay the foundation as much as you want, but if you want to teach young people to challenge clients, or encourage them to challenge clients' thinking, then you have to also reward them for that, because there's a risk involved. You know, I mean, I see it more and more now. You know, there's a reluctance in many media organizations to lift your head above the parapets, because it doesn't pay. You're just going to get a slap across the head and be put back in your place. And so I think that's the challenge. And How do you build that? I am directing this on at you. I mean, Papi, you're obviously involved in developing the learning per se, but how do you monitor that? How do you build it into my performance at an HR level? How do you know whether I'm worth X? And then Papi's programs come in, and by the end of the year, I'm worth X plus what? How do you monitor that? Is it a CPD-based kind of approach? How do you do it?
So maybe not as technical as a CPD sort of, you know, approach, but I think the one thing is our performance evaluation process is quite, it's one thing that our group MD, Chris Porter, that he champions a lot. And I think that's the first thing where we put a lot of emphasis into why we do it and the importance of it, which is exactly that way people can feel like there's an outcome, or I'm going to get some sort of benefit to what I'm doing. And in the performance criteria, that's where we'll have things like your innovation, you know, what big idea have you come up with, you know, what did you pitch to client that was new or that didn't come directly from them. And we incorporate such things into our performance evaluation process. And obviously how one performs is that is then linked to other benefits that one can then get in their employment. But I think the other way in which we do it, which is sort of a softer way, is that what the one thing we do is that we always let people know that we'll back you, you know. So go to client with that idea, with that innovation, and you'll have our support, whether they tear it down or, you know, whether they think it's the best thing ever. But I think what we always try to engender to people is that, you know what, go for it. We'll back you. So I think from a psychological aspect, there's always that recognition that definitely go for it. But if you do it and it does work out, there's also a great amount of recognition as far as that's concerned. You know, we have what we call audacious sessions, where we bring people in, come and present that idea that you did, that was amazing, that strategy that you put together that client couldn't stop raving about. And also that becomes a teaching opportunity as well for the rest of the business, you know. Yeah. So it's in those elements. And then, of course, like I'm saying, it's then factored into how you get evaluated in your performance, and then what one can then bear out of that in the end of the process.
I must say, I can't quite warm to the thought of an audacious session. You know, for me, it's like getting a tattoo. Okay? Because you've got a tattoo of a frog on your bum, doesn't mean you're audacious. It just means you've got a tattoo of your frog on your bum.
Started as a tadpole.
You know, it's not a, but for me, you know, at the end of the day, if you work in advertising, the very point of the whole thing is that you should be audacious 24/7. I'm alarmed at the prospect that we recognize a little sliver of audaciousness. How do you encourage people to just be audacious all the time? If I want to make a statement with a frog, I'll talk like a frog, or I'll dance around the agency on all floors and stick my tongue out at people. I mean, should we not just be audacious as a all the time?
No, definitely we should. And I think, I mean, it might just be the term that we use for our groups, but I think in principle and how we perform or work as an agency, that's definitely one of the values that we embrace, you know, that innovation, that audaciousness. And I think that's why like we have audacious planners, audacious buyers, audacious strategists. It's just the groups that they've named themselves. But I think, again, it just speaks to the fact that that is sort of the bloodline of the agency and something that we live to every day.
It's the culture we spoke last time. Sorry, Gordon, Papi. We were speaking and Mel spoke to me a little bit about the culture of the group, you know, and it's what we spoke about a while back and again today, Gordon. It's allowance to have a go, and you're not going to get fired. You're not going to get hiding, you know. Just don't make a catastrophic mistake over and over, because that's just like plain stupidity. Mm. But I mean, don't stop trying to have a go if you've got something. You know, it's an age-old thing. You know, I'd often sometimes half-jokingly as an ex-client say to an agency, if you guys could produce this work, it's because it's award season. How did you suddenly become so clever? You know what I'm saying to you? And I mean, I was always doing it in a joking way, because I'd like to think I had a fairly good relationship with the people along the way. But within my joke, there was an element of truth saying, why don't you allow your guys to have a go all the time? You know what I mean? You're 100% right, Gordon. Because I didn't wake up thinking we must win an award. I woke up thinking we must move stuff, get market share, brand scores, and all the stuff that most modern-day marketers do. And I'd hate to think the ad agency thought only about awards, and I know they didn't. But it was an important part for both, and I liked the winning for both culture reinforcement, both my side of guys getting a slacker to win, and of course the FCB side. But I mean, yeah, your point, Gordon, you should have an always on. You know, I mean, it's stupid stuff. I'll give you a stupid example. A few weeks ago, I was doing a session in Cape Town, and I was flying down there, and I saw their billboards at the airport. So I was like a kid. I took a photograph and I sent it to the lady, you know, who the client, and I said, hey, listen, I've just checked your boards at the airport. Impassioning is, I think, the
absolutely
word that you're using.
I want to just also bring it back. Papi, you talked about Netflix, and it's a good place to have a discussion. So for me, you know, words change, audacious, you know. Mm. Think out the box was a buzz phrase for a while. And my argument is that 90% of boxers are there for the right reason. Don't think out the box. Be the best thinker in the box if it's the correct box. So Netflix is a good example, you know. Now that Netflix is moving to an ad-supported platform, which was inevitable, all the old in-the-box skills of TV planning are going to suddenly be applied to Netflix. So you've got to round it out. You know, you've got to encourage the innovation. Don't be afraid to embrace the Netflix, but understand and be trained in the fundamentals of television planning, because now you're going to apply them to the next shiny thing. And I think that's something which hopefully, you know, your training embraces. The old skills still underpin the new offering. So a video measuring an audience to a television commercial versus a YouTube pre-roll versus a digital billboard, you're still having to measure audiences and apply reach and frequency and things like that. So is that, you know, do you cover that? We'll teach you about audacious new shiny thing, but also recognize the old stuff as well.
Yeah, teaching and mentorship is an important part of our business. You know, that's why you need to some extent have different kinds of generations in your company, right? You can't just have all people between the ages of 20 and 25, right? Even though that's great, I think that provides an environment for startup company, for innovation, for free thinking. But you do, there is some room for stability and for avoiding making certain mistakes, and that can only be accomplished by mentorship and having sort of more seasoned people in your company. But I wanted to sort of hop on something that we alluded to around how to get the best people, right? And this is not a Hannah secret. It's just kind of a very intuitive thing. Basically, two things. The first thing that you want to do is you want to have exceptional processes that you apply consistently throughout your company, right? So I'll just speak about advertising for a second. So you have a value chain where work leaves client and it goes to media at the end, right? If you leave the exceptionality of someone to a manager or to the discretion of a manager, what you'll have is you'll have the best performers in departments where the manager is more strict, right? Because your process relies on kind of hiring manager doing all the work. And then what you have is you have great strategy, but you have poor creative, or you have poor strategy, and then the creative is even worse. So first thing is have exceptional processes that can be applied consistently throughout your company. And the second thing is have really great, thoughtful, compassionate, caring managers. Okay, it's only through those kinds of managers that pay attention, that are courageous, that can have the tough conversations with their people, that can escalate issues quickly, right? That's the care and growth model. It says that people most value managers who resolve things as expediently as possible. So you get managers who are exceptional, who know how to escalate things, who know how to performance manage, and you get processes that complement that. Before you know it, you have someone who's an all-rounder in your entire company, not just in one department.
Yeah, I mean, I love the idea of processes. For me, you know, growing up in Saatchi, and Saatchi, we had very tight, you know, sort of processes which sort of governed the parameters. And it's, I think it's a David Ogilvy quote that we attributed to normally: give me the freedom of a tight brief.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, you know, what the objectives are. Tell me what is best practice, and leave me the freedom to operate within that. But that comes back again to my point about, you don't always have to think out the box. Sometimes the box is there for a reason. Be the best thinker within the box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where you're going to get a lot of the good results. But I do like the idea of sound global best practices in the form of processes, and then you are left to operate within that. Is very liberating for a media thinker. Yeah, definitely.
And can I just pose a quick question to Gordon, just to pick his brain, right? What do you think adds the most value to creativity? Constraints or freedom?
Understanding the consumer. I don't know where you'll have to figure out where that fits in. I mean, everything, you know, starts with the consumer. So you must check with me. Do you want me to be constrained in my engagement, or do you want me to open the parameters? If I'm dealing with a consumer that doesn't want to be challenged, then don't challenge them. You know, it's all very well shoving something in my face and saying, you need to rethink what your global view. I mean, this is, you know, fundamental. So at the end of the day, I just tweeted this morning, funnily enough, I heard something Stephen Crutter said, that radio and radio stations is all about state of mind. So, and I think it's a very sound observation. Too much radio planning is done on the size of the audience, not enough on the state of the mind. Now, you must decide, do you want to engage with me in where my state of mind is most comfortable, or do you feel it's your duty as an advertiser to shake me to the very core of my being? That's a creative decision. Mm-hmm. So I just think you've got to start with the consumer. Some consumers want their foundations to be challenged, and others just want reinforcement. Your brand, this is your game. Challenge your brands, Doug. This is right up your alley.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think, I don't know if there's one answer. And I think the natural reaction, your gut feel would say, nah, absolute freedom in the brief. But I mean, your point is right, Gordon. And it gets back to, and I've tried to always have a balanced view and look at it from an ex-client's perspective, in terms of sometimes the weak brief is the problem. You know what I mean? In other words, the product manager, the category manager, the brand manager, the marketing manager, the marketing director, CMO, that person doesn't know. And they are hoping by magic, whether it's flexibility, box thinking, inbox, you are supposed to solve it, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You guys are the creative folks. And that's the part of the problem, in my view, is that relationship, that bridge between, a very good bridge between the client and the advertiser.
Yeah, you know, coming back to that bridge, I mean, part of the problem and the constraint issue is this. If you go back to the beginning, I think, of the science of advertising, with people like Ross Reeves, who started talking about top of mind awareness and things like that, and the USP. USP was based on a fundamental point of difference in a product or a brand. And then you add to enhance that in communication. At McCann Pay or Fly, my first alma mater, The Truth Well Told, was directed at that. Now we have parity brands, and the USP is an advertising claim. It's like, that's the problem. You know, nothing will expose a bad product, you know, faster than good advertising. So don't open up the parameters and let me challenge the practice if the brand is incapable of sustaining the challenge itself.
Gordon, geez, great chatting. But now, looking at the time, we're running out of time, unfortunately. And I just want to, as we move towards the close, Ayanda, let's start with you, please. If you have one or two great pieces of advice for somebody out there, then Papi, the same question. You know, just something to leave. And I want to say, young listeners, incorrect, any listener out there with a great piece of advice from both of your sides of the equation.
In terms of the industry?
Anyway, just any piece of advice, whether it's life advice or whether it's specifically, you know, media type advice.
I think, like I'm saying, the key thing for me is just that element of teachability. I think whether you're young coming in or you've sort of experienced in another industry, I mean, just as a separate point, we had someone who'd been working in IT for quite a couple of years who recently joined our digital department, Lucid Media. So that just came to me on the side that, you know what, again, to this teachability point, that regardless of your background, whether you're just coming out of varsity, whether you've worked in another field for some time, and you're interested in coming into that into the media space, specifically in my space, it's so important to have that skill of teachability, be open and willing to learn, adaptability and agility. You know, it's an industry that's constantly changing. You know, you wake up tomorrow, you've won a new client, you woke up tomorrow, you've lost another client, and you have to have that flexibility. Also in terms of just developments that happen, you know. A couple of years ago, if you were a planner, you were just a traditional planner. Now we're talking about hybrid planners and hybrid buyers and strategists, you know, having capabilities on both the above the line and the digital side. And so a lot of planners and buyers, strategists, etc., had to upskill themselves on the digital side. So those are all the kinds of fluidity that one can experience in this industry. And so again, that element to just being agile, being willing to learn and develop yourself, so that, you know, you're always future fitted, for lack of a better word, that, you know, wherever the industry goes, you will be able to flourish because you're always constantly looking at what's going on. And obviously then, with the support of the agency, developing yourself to ensure that you're still relevant in the market.
Valuable skill in life as well as specifically in business. You know, it's almost, there's another term, and I'm not even sure this is the word, bounce back ability. You know what I mean? So do you bounce back from knockdowns? And in your case, not in your particular personal case, but in business, it's losing a client. I mean, that's a massive, massive issue, you know, very traumatic, not just financially, but bounce back ability. But be your lesson or two?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll borrow from Thabang, our CEO. You know, recently I've learned from him that we need to avoid categories, right? Like boxing yourself, and we were speaking about boxes earlier, putting yourself in this sort of very specific niche box. One thing that's quite helpful, again, I'm lending from sort of what I've learned in my life, which is the more diverse your thinking is, the more valuable you are. Generally, right? Because you can have discussions with pretty much everyone, you can participate in pretty much everything, and I think that's the biggest commodity these days is be multi-skilled, don't be afraid to challenge yourself and move into spaces that feel uncomfortable, because great individuals don't make success, it's great teams that do, right? And so the moment we can move into a space where more and more of our people are multi-skilled and they know how to think and they're curious, the better we'll have of course diverse environments and diverse companies, but of course our ideas will become richer and you know, there'll be a lot of substance and depth, so don't be afraid to put yourself out there.
Thanks guys, I mean that's wonderful. And Papi, thanks very much for your time, your insights, and also, you know, I wish you both well, but also your team, you know, they're not new, as I say, Brett in his new role, Joey Thabang as the group CEO now, and it's not absolutely new, but still newish. So, you know, wish them well. As you said, Gordon, you know, your alma mater, you know, I'd worked not at, but the agency, you know, the FCB Group was my agency for many, many years, so I got a fond, spot for the guys, and so, yeah, so thanks very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, wonderful. And once again, thanks. I mean, for me, it's a breath of fresh air, fast even for that one. Too much sibilance, I think, is the phrase. No, it's great because I'm really encouraged to see that big groups are beginning to realize that's the fundamental core. We can't just keep churning people. We've got to build people. So I'm delighted about that. And Doc, are you going to do the birthday song, happy at the 150th? Happy birthday to Dr. Guru. You don't sing. No, Doc, come on. You're too conservative.
You're probably going to tattoo a frog on your bum. No, I'm not conservative. I'm just realistic. You know, you got to, Papi, I mean, from a skills point of view, sometimes you've got to realize there's this, first thing you've got to realize there's a skills gap. Now, I learned that back in junior school. There's a big musical skills gap that I never closed.
Where are you hiding your tattoo?
To our listeners out there, thanks again. Another great episode. Thanks to our special guests. 150 up, Gordon. Yeah,
150 up. And thanks, thank you to all the listeners out there. Yeah, guys, we really appreciate the support and the feedback we get from you. And we'll see you next week for 151. Ciao for now.
Cheers. And so that was another episode of the Doc and the Guru. Please don't forget to get a hold of us on Facebook, like us, follow us, subscribe to the podcast. And then from my side, you can get a hold of me on LinkedIn, Dr. Doug Mataz. I'm very active and very keen to hear about your views, and certainly will respond, and hopefully we can bring that into the show.
Thanks, Doc, and it's Gordon Miller, the Guru, signing off. Thank you for being with us and listening into this podcast today. You can pick up the discussion with me on my Twitter handle, @MzanziMedia, and I'd love to engage with you on any of the issues that we've taken on the show, and take us at our word. This is really going to be an open forum. There are no subjects that are taboo, and we'd love to have some of the younger, more under-listened, if that's the correct phrase, voices to join us in this discussion. Thanks for your time.
The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.